This is Buckeye Replay. The faint smell of football is getting stronger as the season approaches. Join us as we look back at classic matchups against our new Big Ten friends from out west. Here's your host, Timmy Hall.
Oh my goodness, I cannot believe we are back here again for another year of Buckeye Replay. It's brought to you by our friends from Weber Grills. It's great to be here with all you fine Buckeye fans. This is becoming a nice little tradition here on The Fan, listening to classic broadcasts. And you heard our theme there, and I got to get right to it because of what we got going on. We are listening to the Rose Bowl game between Ohio State and Washington, January 1st, 2019. And you know, we like to start off each episode with an interview with a key figure. Who better to get than head coach Urban Meyer, who is coaching in his last game? So here he is, folks. He's so kind to give us some time on the weekend as he's enjoying some summertime fun before the season comes back around. And he's back on Big Noon Kickoff doing his work for Fox. The legendary head coach, three-time national champ, one of the best to ever do it, winner of the most recent title for the Buckeyes, Urban Meyer is here. Urban, thanks for doing this. How are you?
I'm great, Tim. What a great idea. So many great matchups. You know, you mentioned the four new friends from the Pac-12, Oregon, USC, Washington, and UCLA. I'll tell you what, the Big 10 or Big 18, Big whatever it is, just got real strong.
Right. And before we get into the specifics of this game, I like to do some catch-up. And Urban, I know you'll be talking all about this, and you already have, being a college football analyst now and having a different point of view, although I'm sure you always had thoughts on this stuff as a head coach as well. But what is your opinion on the way everything has gone in college football and adding these four exciting new programs and universities to the Big Ten now?
Well, it's good for as many decisions in any world, and it's great for certain people, and it's not great for others. And it's great for the Big Ten. It's reality is the SEC and the Big Ten are in an arms race for superiority of the game, and it's amazing what has happened. You have Texas, Oklahoma. You got the four Pac-12 teams coming to the Big Ten. You know, where is this going to end? You know, I really believe no one knows, and so. I grew up, I'm a very traditionalist in the great game of football, and the Pac-12 was always one of the strongest conferences out there. You know, ironically, last year, there were many arguments the Pac-12 was the strongest college conference in college football. You think of the legendary players, coaches, national championships, Heisman Trophy winners that came out of that area. And then now you have Oregon, you know, get on plane for, you know, long trips now.
Yeah.
I understand it's 2,300 miles is the average trip. So the wear and tear is going to be real, but as far as the fan, as far as the Big Ten Conference, as far as the way college football is going, it's a great ad for the Big Ten.
It's kind of interesting too, Urban, because, you know, the game that we're going to listen to here is against Washington, and there's always been this connection between Big Ten programs and Pac-10 programs of the past in the big games, right? In the traditional Rose Bowl. And you're going to be seeing more of these teams, and we've got plenty of broadcasts throughout the next 8 weeks to listen to. And it's just, it's unique in that way. And I know you being a traditionalist, everything else that's going around, they're trying to diminish the Rose Bowl. And as college football fans and just people that, you know, take care of the sport, you want to do whatever you can to make sure that the Rose Bowl always has that esteem and always is one of the great games that you can play in.
Yeah, ironically, I've coached in many big-time bowl games, but I grew up in the 70s and watching Archie Griffin playing the Rose Bowl and Woody Hayes and, you know, also the Wolverines with Bo Schembechler going out there to play the great USC and UCLA and some of the great, incredible games in that iconic stadium. And to think I never got to coach in that game. I was in the Fiesta Bowl several times, the Orange Bowl several times, even the Sugar Bowl a couple times, but when we got that bid to play in the Rose Bowl, and it was my final game as a Buckeye coach, I mean, first of all, we had to win the darn thing. Second of all, just to stand on that field and watch the sunset over the mountains and the beautiful weather and the great fans, it was a dream come true.
Urban, as you've been out of coaching here, what is the number one thing you miss, and what is the thing that you miss the least?
Yeah, I miss winning. I miss that locker room after a big win. I miss the staff meetings leading up to a big game. You know, I actually dream about that. So I'll wake up and, you know, that was that was my happy place, man, is when you're getting ready to go play for a national title, getting ready to play for a Rose Bowl and getting that team ready to go. And, you know, you have 10 assistant coaches and that whole staff in there, trainers, equipment guys, strength staff, getting everybody ready. I really miss that. What I don't miss is the time. You know, there's no chance I'd go back. I mean, this is, I didn't even realize, you know, I never really took a day off, Tim.
Yeah.
You know, my wife, we'd go places, but I was never off. I worked at least 50% of the time recruiting, practice schedules, whatever it may be. So I never took a day off. And what I found out, pretty nice life out there.
Man, it is, right? And you're telling us not one day could you ever turn your mind off from it. Not once. Like in late June or whenever, even when recruiting dies down, or like it never dies down, right? But you could never do that in your years as a coach.
Well, Tim, I was an extremist, you know, and I'm not proud of that. I was one of those people that I just couldn't. That's why I knew I had a shelf life. 55 was always my target to, you know, try to do something else and let my family enjoy their lives too, because you don't realize the wear and tear that happens to them as well. And Ohio State, you know, I worked at four, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, and Ohio State. And, you know, I think to be successful, first of all, you have to have a description of what successful is. But to be successful at those places, I don't know any other way.
I guess it's fitting. I just was listening to a clip on, I think it was December 4th, leading up to the bowl game, when you announced that was going to be the last game. And you started off the press conference kind of joking that it was your grandson Troy's second birthday. And my how time flies, right? I'm sure you've loved a lot of time with him and the rest of your family, but that's kind of how you kicked off that press conference, which is a little bit of what you're saying to me, what's good about being out, which I would tend to agree with. That's got to be one of the best parts about being away.
You know, God's gift, those grandchildren, it's like a second coming. You know, because when you have your own children, everything is going at warp speed and to watch my daughter and now my other daughter, Gigi, has one and one on the way, and then Nate has one on the way. So it's like a second coming to relive your, you know, parenting, even though I'm a grandparent. But we are so involved with these kiddos, and they're actually, as we speak, they're flying down to Sarasota right now to spend a week with us. So, yeah, it's God's gift.
That's great. That is great. We've got head coach Urban Meyer with us. It's outstanding. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I always kind of stopped and had to listen to it a little bit more carefully when people would say, you know, that you maybe wanted to get out because of the way the game has been changing, because of all the different things that are affecting college football. We talked about realignment, NIL. There's so many things, recruiting. But Urban, for you to have the success that you had, one of the top win percentages all time, it's not disputed, that's a fact, you know, one of the most successful college football coaches ever, you had to have adaptability throughout your entire career. That's the trait of any successful coach. So I'm sure you would have adapted to everything else that's going on now. Does that bother you when you hear those things?
Well, first of all, I don't hear them because I don't listen. So the last thing I'm worried about is, you know, someone's opinion why I got out. But no, I think all coaches adapt. I think this is extremism as far as adapting. You know, you saw Nick Saban, you know, talking about after, I can't remember exactly what he said, but after a bad loss, you know, used to be devastation, but it really wasn't anymore. It was on to the next, you know, deal and all that. I've always been a proponent of NIL. I've always been a proponent of players being able to, it was silly for the NCAA for so many years, and they're paying a heck of a price now for it to not allow players, it's the United States of America, to earn money. However, that's not what's become of it. What's become of it is these things called collectives where they just get wads of money from donors and distribute it, you know. But I'm a big fan of players should have, everybody should have a right to earn a living and make money off their name.
Guys, this is so cool. It's the first episode of the season of Buckeye Replay. Head football coach Urban Meyer is here. We're getting ready to listen to the January 1st, 2019 Rose Bowl game as the Buckeyes took on Washington. We'll get some of the coaches' memories on this contest coming up here. It's Buckeye Replay on The Fan.
Reliving the great moments, one victory at a time.
Football is war, son.
You're listening to Buckeye Replay.
Yes, you are, and we have got a great guest that is getting us ready for this first edition of Buckeye Replay here in 2024. We're going back to January 1st, 2019. That 2018 season was a wild one, and this would be head coach Urban Meyer's last game, and he is with us on the line. Urban, once again, thank you so much, and what are your first memories? We talked a little bit about that press conference the last segment, but the 3 or 4 week buildup to this Rose Bowl game that you were so excited to coach in.
Well, number one is the win. You know, that we would not be talking today if we didn't win that game. You know, and have one opportunity to coach in a bowl game that I dreamed about, that I watched as a child, as an Ohio State fan growing up in the great state of Ohio. I could tell you the legendary moments in that game, and to actually be taking a team there against a really good team. A good friend of mine, Chris Peterson, was a coach. Washington was an excellent team, very talented team. And we had Dwayne Haskins as our quarterback. You know, we were a little different type of offense than we normally were. We're, you know, very pass heavy. We had very talented receivers with KJ, Paris Campbell, Austin Mack, and of course Terry McLaurin. So very, very talented. And we just had to win the darn thing, you know, and then celebrate the great moments afterwards, but find a way to win that game and keep a team. Tim, one of the hardest things to do is if you're not playing for the national championship, you know, keeping a team locked in, keeping a team together. A lot of times there were a couple players on that team that weren't sure they were even playing a Rose Bowl until about a week before. I didn't know. And so there was a lot of things going on. And, you know, I kept thinking to myself, my gosh, it's the Rose Bowl. But, you know, the way the college playoff works now and,
right.
and worked then, that was the target. If you didn't hit the target, a lot of times players sat out.
How do you go about that when you've mentioned you are a traditionalist and those kind of things do pop up now when folks want to get ready for their NFL careers? But you are looking at this as the most important football game that we've got. It's the Rose Bowl, like you said.
Yeah, I took a very hands-off approach to that because it would be very hard to live with if you talk a player into – playing and then something happens that impacts his NFL career. So I really somewhat stayed out of it, you know, and I listened. If they asked my opinion, I gave it, but I only gave my opinion if it was asked. And a lot of times they didn't ask, you know, they had their team behind the scenes that was, whether it be an agent, whether it be their parents, whether it be someone that's involved in their life, giving their opinion. So as hard as that is to believe, I really stayed out of those conversations.
Urban, when you mentioned the quarterback there, the late, great Dwayne Haskins, and this was a season where we were seeing this Ohio State offense attack defenses through the air like never before. And to have a player like that, you think about that video that went viral where Dwayne was a kid and he visited Ohio State and looking at the camera and saying, I'm going to play football here one day. And he did it. And he had that season, you know, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdown passes. It was incredible. And just what was it like to come up with your game plan from week to week with that kind of talent back there under center?
Well, a quick flashback, too, is we had Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins battling out for the starting spot.
Amazing.
And Joe went on to LSU, and Joe's a great friend, and great friend Ohio State will always be, and he made a decision. It was very close in spring practice, and Dwayne was just a little further ahead. But we all saw the talent that Joe had, and Dwayne had one of the great careers, certainly in Ohio State history, but college football history. And, man, was he an accurate player and very studious of the game. He became more electric even with his legs as the season progressed, and certainly the last couple games. But Dwayne's as fine a thrower, quarterback, as I've ever been around, and it's still hard to believe he's no longer with us.
And, you know, you had some great wide receivers, and it is. It's so sad. It's incredibly sad what happened. And you had such a good team like Ohio State usually does around him. But when you look at the wide receiver talent that Ohio State has developed here more recently with Marvin Harrison Jr. just going pro in the top five, but that group of guys, like you mentioned, some of them, Paris Campbell and KJ Hill, Ben Victor, you can remember the Penn State game and the huge plays he made. And Terry McLaurin, I find it incredible. Terry McLaurin almost seems like one of these receivers that's lost in the shuffle in his Ohio State history. But just what a great player. Great players all around there.
There were, and that group was a little bit more developed than they weren't exactly five stars. Paris was a guy that we actually went to look at Dante Booker up at St. Vincent St. Mary, and he was a running back. And I just loved him. And so we took him and developed him as a receiver. It took 3 years. Terry McLaurin was an under-recruited guy coming out of Indiana. that, you know, is well known, the story about coming to camp really fast. I was just with him the other day at a fundraiser at Ohio State, and KJ Hill was not a highly recruited guy that we went in, and, you know, obviously wasn't a longtime NFL guy, but one of the great players I've ever been around. So those guys were developed players, and I'll tell you what, by the time we got to that Rose Bowl, I would have took that receiving core along with Dwayne Haskins against anybody in the country.
Well, Coach, you had a couple great players for Washington there. You know, great respect for that team. Jake Browning, who just had a great little end of the season last year, filling in for Joe Burrow, who you mentioned in Cincinnati. Miles Gaskin for Washington. You can't get out of your coaching career to hold it at single-digit losses in your Ohio State run, right, without some nerves, without some pressure. And the 20-point fourth quarter for Washington, tell us what was going through your mind as your team was fighting and clawing to just get the victory at that point.
Yeah, I kind of felt, you know, we went up 28-3 in that first half, and Dwayne was on fire, and I felt the air out of the balloon on the sideline. I was panicking, trying to get him back. My strength coach, who's still there, Mickey Moradi, and I were just, you know, it's almost like I kind of felt our players and staff, you know, we got this. We just won, and you're going against one of the best teams in the country, Washington, and we were hanging on, man, and giving up points. Our defense struggled a lot during that year. You know, also, Dan, memory lane is that Nick Bosa didn't play, you remember, other than the three games. You have Nick Bosa and Chase Young had two ankle sprains.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that team wouldn't have competed and maybe won a championship if we had those guys. If Chase was healthy and you had Nick Bosa playing for us, I mean, that Nick Bosa is arguably the best defensive player I've ever been around, and we didn't have them.
I can't wait to listen to this broadcast here today. It's going to be fantastic. I'm also supposed to tell you my usual partner in the evenings, Tyvis Powell, sends his love and thanks you for all those years of great coaching. And he tells us many, many good stories about you. They're all good, I promise. Entertaining stories.
Oh, yeah. Tyvis was one of those grinders. And to see him be, first of all, the legendary play of his many was stepping in front of Devin Gardner's pass and with 3 seconds left in the Big House to secure a win over our hated rivals. So I love Tyvis. Tyvis is great on television, great on the radio. So you guys do a hell of a job.
That's good of you to say. And, hey, hopefully, Urban, you're not the most recent national championship-winning coach around here with this team they put together for 2024, right?
Oh, I can't wait to see him play. They're loaded.
It's going to be great. Well, Urban, I hope you have some more wonderful summer plans coming up, and really awesome of you to spend some time with us here today as we get set to listen to a classic broadcast.
Thanks, Tim. Have a great day.